Hey, you found us. It's the Ben and Matt Sportscast. I'm Ben Glickson with my tag team partner, Matt Story. And look, we're doing our football quarterback draft preview. We promised it was coming.
Yes.
It's here.
And we're getting it in just a shade under 24 hours before the first quarterbacks will be off the board by tomorrow at this time.
Now, that being said, we have to start with the news coming out of ASU that the NCAA investigation appears to be wrapping up. Reports indicate that all but two of the employed people have resolved. Antonio Pierce and one other analyst.
Analyst who, I'll be honest, I didn't know the name. I don't know if you did. Yeah.
Nope. I did not, but they are. They want separate in-person hearings. Everyone else has been resolved. Herm Edwards gets a lengthy 8-year show cause provision. He was involved in a lot. He was part of the cover-up. Interestingly, ASU got credit for participating and sharing a lot of information about what happened.
Yeah.
But a number of coaches did not
get
credit for that.
Topped by Derek Hagan, sounds like.
Yeah. Hey, Sun Devil through and through, Derek Hagan.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, you know, the penalties, I guess, if you want to call them that, came out last week. And, you know, like on the surface, doesn't seem too bad. I mean, the recruiting restrictions and things like that, like, it's hard to know how much that will affect things. No further postseason penalties, so I guess that's positive.
Most of the scholarship stuff, I believe, is done after next season.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, it's been lean times, and, you know, no matter what the NCAA hit us with, we've talked about this, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on it right now, but man, it feels like the intangible portion of that era continues to linger, and hopefully Kenny Dillingham can change that in the near future. But man, it's still tough to get past that, you know, 20, 21, 22 disappointment, everything that happened. It's tough. And then, you know, you mentioned Herm Edwards. I mean, we can't have this discussion without discussing the fact that, you know, he got all his money in a buyout. And we were told at the time, you know, both Crow and Anderson were on record as basically saying, like, you know, well, you know, he didn't know what was going on. He did it, you know, he did the best he could. But no, he didn't. Yeah. I mean, he clearly knew what was going on and was partaking in it. And man, for a university that cries about how they don't have enough money to compete at the highest level, you know, $4.5 million to a coach that should have been fired for cause is tough to swallow.
Yeah, I mean, having the 1-2 punch of that with the story about the $119,000 total recruiting budget for ASU basketball.
Yeah, we didn't discuss that, but yeah, I saw that too. Yeah. The lack of money put toward that, and I mean, recruiting and just basketball in general. You know what, I think that came out that we were 10th among Pac-12 teams in, you know, money spent on basketball.
Yeah.
Only ahead of the two, you know, teams that are left without a conference, Oregon State and Washington State, if I read that correct.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough, man. It really is. And you know, again, we could probably have, you know, we have had and will have more of those conversations about our feelings on ASU. But yeah, the Herm thing was just a, you know, just another gut punch of like, man, you know, we didn't even call it a firing, but I guess it was a firing because he got his buyout. But we shouldn't have given him that buyout. I mean, it's just such a mess. Such a mess. And then the AD, who's not the AD anymore, but continues to make the same amount of money to do almost nothing. Man, it's a hard pill to swallow right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and you know, I read, I think it was Chris Cartman said, you know, oh, this is a reputational black eye for Herm Edwards, and even if he's not going to coach in college anymore,
it's
like, I don't know the guy, but I beg to differ. I don't think he cares.
Why would he? He's fine.
I mean, why would he? Right. He's on ESPN like it never happened.
And I'll be really clear. ESPN had a story about it, but they didn't. There's no like quote from Herm. There's no sit down where Matt Barry is talking to him. You know,
they've put him right back where he was before he took the job. He does his spot appearances on NFL Live and First Take and whatever. And I mean, nothing has changed for him at all. He's friendly Uncle Herm with his quips and his funny lines, and it's like it never happened. And all he did was leave the smoldering ashes in Tempe in the 5 years he was here.
Yeah.
Four and a half, whatever.
I will say on Kenny, and then we're going to get to the NFL draft, but there was a lot of more saying the right thing from that guy. The recruiting that's happening right now, and basically saying, look, we're not someone's backup plan. We are the plan. And that's what I'm trying to like, this to me, this goes back to the Todd Graham era of, I'd rather you say this than the alternative. Like,
for sure. Agreed. I feel like maybe in May, when we have, we've talked so much, college basketball and WrestleMania and now the draft, we should discuss some of the, we didn't talk about Jaden Rashada leaving, and obviously, and all the high school commits, and I agree. I mean, he's doing the best he can, but it is tough. I'm going to say that again. Like, and I texted you this past week. Like, all these high school commits. Like, in the old days, you always took that with a grain of salt because, like, well, they still have to sign and kids change their mind and stuff. Now it's like you need like a whole pile of salt. Because all that's still true, but then they may even sign here, and then after a year or even after spring practice, they're going to leave. And, like, man, it takes a lot for me to get excited about the recruiting success we're having right now.
Yeah, well, and
it's good, but I'm not excited.
And you alluded to one, with Rashada leaving, but, Ed Woods was supposed to be the starting corner this year, and all of a sudden he didn't tell anybody, and he's in the transfer portal. So
he's gone, Elijah Badger, who... I know the spin comes, they've got all these other guys. Like, all right, maybe. But, he's been a fairly reliable receiver for us the last couple of years, and we haven't had many. He leaves. And, it's just, man, it's hard to watch these guys just walk out the door, and you're not even having success with them. It's one thing if Jaden Rashada had been, really good as a freshman, and we went 8-4, it would still sting. But at least he had some success. Like, guy made, three starts in his time here? Got hurt in the second one. Wasn't probably ready to play in that Arizona game. They threw him out there because why not? But looked completely rusty and unprepared to be in game action. And that's it. It's like, man, that's just, I don't know. Maybe he wasn't going to be the starter anyway, but it still stinks.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about guys who might be the starter, including one who started for ASU for a few years.
Who was the ASU? So on the subject of the sanctions, Jaden Daniels' mom was one of the people named, and now he's getting ready to hear his name called very early tomorrow. I'm sure by 24 hours from now, he will already have his next team.
I will say that I am surprised. So the quarterbacks, Daniels, May, Williams. One of those things to me is not like the other. I am surprised that he's in this conversation.
Daniels?
Yeah. I mean,
he
won the Heisman.
He wasn't. That's it. I was going to say, he wasn't for most of the season. And then, had a really good year. I mean, taking nothing away from him. He had a great year. Just for fact-based, like, did throw to two guys who are going to get picked in the first round tomorrow. That helps. Williams and May did not have that. So, I do think that has to be noted, that when you have those type of receivers, you're going to look better. But had a great year, really became a much better player than what he was when he left here in 2021. It's a testament to coaching. But I agree. I, I, I don't know. I'm not sold. I think his running style and his thin frame, I'm not sure he could physically hold up in the NFL. Some of the hits he took in college already were like, man, you're going to get hurt.
Now, I say this knowing that the last time I made this type of statement, it came back squarely to bite me. I'm really glad the Packers aren't in the market for a first-round quarterback.
I don't think they will be this year, yeah. I mean, you go through the teams, they're probably one of the ones that you quickly write off as like, yeah, they're not taking it. They may take one late. Maybe they take one on day three as a depth guy. I mean, any team could do that. But, yeah, I don't think they're in the market for it. But, you know, it's interesting you say that because I was just thinking before we talk, like, you know, okay, you got these roughly six guys that are being mentioned as the top guys, and I come up with maybe seven teams that, you feel like could easily take one. I'm like, well, at least one's going to be left without one. Maybe more if somebody, you know, if there's a surprise team of, you know, Seattle or the Rams or the Steelers or somebody like that takes one. I don't think so. But, you know, you never know in those situations.
So what do you think will happen? Like, this is the time where we talk about what you think, because you are much closer to this than I ever will be.
Well, I mean, Caleb Williams is going number one to the Bears. I think that's, you know, that's as obvious as the sun rising tomorrow. It's been pretty well set for a couple months, and certainly since they made the Fields trade, that seems likely. Should we talk some Caleb Williams, thoughts on him? It's a little polarizing.
I'm not sure how worried as a Packer fan I should be if he's who the Bears take. You know, he won the Heisman 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But he had sort of a meh follow-up to that. And I think that there is some, you know, look, he's 21, so this could be said about anyway, but there's some mentals there that...
I agree. Some personality things that would give me pause. I kind of feel like it's either... there's no in between with how this is going to work out. He's either going to be the toast of the town, Chicago sports icon, or he's gonna melt under the heat. The whole thing of, I mean, we texted about it, I believe, last year. I don't know if we ever actually talked about it. The whole when they lost to Washington. And he goes in the stands and is you know, kind of crying on his mom's shoulder. Well, not kind of. He was crying on his mom's shoulder. And I don't know. There was a part of me that understood that. There's part of me that, like, well, you want to see the guy care about football. You know, okay.
Yeah.
But then there's also a part of me that's like, man, you're the leader. And now you're a leader of grown men playing NFL football. You can't do that. You could do it behind the scenes. You want to go home, and okay. But on TV, like stuff like that, and in Chicago, Chicago's a tough town.
Yeah.
They're looking for a reason to criticize you. That kind of stuff won't go over well if he's doing it in the NFL.
Yeah.
And acting like a baby during games, stuff like that. I don't know. He's going to have to grow up a little. Now, he might. Maybe he will, and maybe he'll be a great fit. He's got a lot of talent. I don't think there's any debate about that. He's tremendously talented.
Yeah, I view that as the table stakes for being in this conversation. Look, he's got, you would think, better arm talent than Fields.
Yeah, I think so, I suppose.
You know, but I...
And going to a team that is I mean, if you're going to be the number one pick, like he's going to a team that went, what, 7-10 last year?
Yeah.
Had a shot to make the playoffs until week 17. Got better defensively when they made the Montez Sweat trade, added Keenan Allen, great, you know, really solid veteran receiver to go with DJ Moore. Like, not a bad situation. You know, it's not Bryce Young going to Carolina. Like, man, there's just not much there. I don't know if this guy could succeed. And 1 year in, he certainly didn't. Now, maybe he'll turn around. But, you know, the tools are there, it seems like, to, you know, have some success pretty quickly, I feel like, which also means the pressure's on. you know, like a 4-win season next year will garner a lot of negative reaction if that's what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm of a mind where this is kind of to your point. If he's going to succeed, he's in a spot to succeed. But if he does not find immediate success, this is not a market that is patient and kind.
No, agreed. Yeah, I mean, the media is intense. The fans are intense. You know, Bears fans just seemingly wait to be, you know, disappointed by quarterback play. They chewed up and spit out Trubisky. They seemingly love Justin Fields. But, like, the enduring loyalty to Justin Fields, you know, I like Justin Fields, so I kind of liked it. But they, you know, a lot of people really wanted them to keep him, you know, so that'll be interesting, too. Like, if Williams struggles, you're going to get a lot of, you know, we should have just kept Justin Fields, should have traded down. You know, why? What was the point of getting this guy? So there is going to be pressure on. And how he handles that, I don't know. He's an interesting persona. He's not your typical, you know, jock personality. Maybe it'll work, but it's explosive, it feels like.
Yeah. I think that success would be the cure-all. If he's on the Bears, like,
yeah.
Because all of that quirkiness and all of that, it gets struck, you know, gets written down as that, just that. He's quirky. Yeah. He's, you know.
If you're winning.
Yeah. But if you're not winning, then it's like, does he care? Is he mature enough for this role? Blah, 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 blah,
right. I mean, some of the stuff, like, you know, he's just a different guy, you know, so it'll be interesting. I mean, I think that's a lock. Absolute lock that he's going there, and then seems like close to a lock that Jade Daniels going to go second to Washington.
Yeah,
you know, like there started to be some rumblings last week that, you know, he didn't want to go there, and would they pivot and blah blah blah. But you know, lately the last couple of days seems like everything is peachy, and you know, I was thinking about it. You know, obviously we talked about that he went to ASU, and like, man, if I told you back in January of 2020 that Jaden Daniels would win a Heisman Trophy and be a top 3 overall pick in the draft, would have been pretty happy, right? I know I would have.
Yeah.
Would have thought that he was like going down as maybe the best player in ASU history.
Him and Johnny Wilson.
Yeah, who will also probably hear his name, but not tomorrow. Yeah. But. Maybe Friday, certainly by Saturday, I would think he'll get drafted. Another one, Ricky Pearsall, who might go tomorrow, probably second round, it seems like, but starting to generate a lot of buzz.
That one, to me, is shocking, because I always thought of him as a, like, get the most out of what you have.
Yeah. But another one who, you know, improved going somewhere else. I mean, you know, I think we discussed it last year, you know, it was like, you had Daniels, you had Pearsall, you had Wilson, you had Chip Traynham, who was, you know, the 1-1-1A running back for Ohio State. You had Ladarius Henderson starting for the 15-0 national champion Michigan team. Like, man, we had some talent. We really did. Yeah. That offense in, you know, 19-20, it was there. It was, you know, we should have been better. I guess is the best way to say it.
Yeah.
And Daniel's success in college, at least, you know, just it hurts, because man, he should have been that guy he should have been that magical ASU player that we talked about for decades, you know, but it wasn't to be for a number of reasons, I guess.
Why has Drake May fallen out of that 2 position? You know,
to me, you know, I'm not a scout. I'm not, you know, I know people see things I don't. I'm not an X's and O's guy necessarily. But to me, Drake May seems like the guy. There's always one every year that it's just like we kind of get bored with what he does well, and you start to nitpick what he doesn't do well. And, you know, well, he's, you know, this, that, and the other. I mean, I don't think he was that well coached in college, especially last year. if I'm not mistaken, and I don't think I am, little Ronnie Cox line, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not. Chip Lindsey was the offensive coordinator last year for them.
Yeah.
We experienced a Chip Lindsey offense. It wasn't that special. You know, and it was a different approach than what they had the year before. Didn't have the receiving talent he had the year before either. Still put up a solid year. I mean, they went 8-4, I think. You know, it wasn't like things fell apart, but maybe not the great year that you hoped. But yeah, I like Drake May a lot. So you're asking that question. I'm probably not the guy to answer it because if I had to take somebody, if you said, you know, 5 years from now, who's going to be the best out of this group, I'd probably pick him.
And see, that's, I thought the conversation ultimately was going to be him or Williams and not Williams for sure, him or Daniels, you know?
I did too. I mean, that's what it was through most of the season. You know, it was kind of, these two are, you know, and then, you know, it seems like Williams kind of separated himself. And I understand that, I guess. I'd like to also just put an asterisk on what I just said and say, like, I kind of want to see who takes him. Because I do feel like he's got a lot of talent. I don't think, again, much debate there. A little bit raw. And you know, if he goes to Minnesota, where they have a good offensive coach and they have good receivers, and like, I'd love that fit for him.
Yeah.
You know, if he ends up in New England with a brand new coach and, you know, just like some kind of shaky surrounding talent and the pressure of, okay, Mac Jones didn't work out. Now it's up to you to be the, you know, successor to Tom Brady. I don't know if I love that fit quite as much.
Yeah.
So I like him, but I think where he goes matters. I think that's the case for everybody. But I don't think he's like so good he's going to succeed no matter what.
I fear him to Minnesota as a Packer fan probably more than Williams to the Bears. Now, obviously, I don't know what I'm talking about, and I could definitely regret that later.
I mean, I think so. I just think the recipe for success there is good. You know, the quarterback coach is Josh McCown, who was his high school coach. Mm-hmm. So you'd have some familiarity. And I don't think pressure to be the starter right away. You know, Sam Darnold's there. Sam Darnold's not going to be the star that I thought he could be. But he's a serviceable player. You could throw him out there to start the year. And if things go well, maybe you ride him all year. And if not, you know, you give that guy a little bit of time to get, you know, get more adjusted to the NFL. He takes over in week 5, week 7, week 9, something like that. I think that's a decent recipe.
We're in the spot where you question now where, if anywhere, here, does a trade happen? Is it the Cardinals? Is it Marvin Harrison? What's happening?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, you know, so like, again, it seems like 1-2 pretty well. You know, then does New England take May? Would they take McCarthy? Yeah. You know, like, there's been some suggestion of that. Or do they trade out? Does Minnesota trade up? You know, and then if they do take May, I think Minnesota trading up to 4 or 5 is pretty logical, you know, to get McCarthy. Mm-hmm. if they want to take him.
Yeah.
And I like McCarthy too. I know it's easy to, oh, you know, he didn't throw for a lot of yards, and the offense didn't call for him to do that. That's not a Jim Harbaugh offense. You know, just wait and see, you know, like Justin Herbert's not going to throw for 5,000 yards under Jim Harbaugh. That's not the way he plays football. It's not the way he coaches football. But he came through usually when it mattered. He was good when they needed him to be good. And I think in an NFL offense, he could be a kind of a revelation. You know, if you take the handcuffs off, he could be really good.
Well, and that's also one of those kind of Andrew Luck comes to mind as a guy who in college, it's like, yeah, you could see he had all the talent, but he didn't.
Right.
They didn't need him to do all those things.
Exactly. Yeah. Look, I mean, you know, I know college passing numbers are more every year. So in 2012 or whatever, 2010, 11, you know, they weren't as much. But yeah, Luck didn't you know, throw for 50 touchdowns. And, you know, there were games he just, he'd hand it to Toby Gerhart or Stephon Taylor and he'd make the plays. And, you know, I think for him, everybody saw like, oh my God, this guy is so talented. It does, you know, and McCarthy's probably not that level of prospect. He's just not. But I think it is similar. Like, man, you know, he's a good athlete. You know, in a certain type of offense that, you know, maybe runs the quarterback some and lets him, you know, play a little bit freer than what the Michigan offense was. And I'm not criticizing the Michigan offense. It worked. But, you know, it just it's what it is. I think he could be really good. I mean, I think he could be a guy who is like, wow, this guy, you know, he threw for, you know, 4,500 yards. Like, where'd this come from? Well, it was always there. Just it's just not what they did where he played college football.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm intrigued by him. I you know, I think he's probably the fourth off the board, but probably not long after. I mean, I think it'd be a surprise if he made it out of the top 10.
So where do you think Marvin Harrison Jr. winds up?
Because my fear is he's going to wind up in Arizona.
Because everyone has said he's as lock as lock can be. If he stays healthy.
I mean, I like him. You know, obviously, I liked his dad playing for the Colts all those years. And, you know, so it's been fun to follow him through his 3 years of college. And that's why I say fear, because I want to continue to like him. I would rather he not go to Arizona. But it makes a lot of sense. They don't have much of a receiver. Probably going to see quarterback go 1-2-3. You know, unless somebody trades up with New England, unless it's a, you know, somebody that really wants him, you know, I've heard the rumblings that Indianapolis wants him or Chicago with that other first round pick. They trade up and get him. Maybe. I'd like to see that selfishly, but I'd be surprised if he makes it past 4 or 5. 5 is the Chargers. Another team that needs receiver help with, you know, Williams and Allen both leaving. I can't see him going past one of those. I'd be stunned.
Yeah.
Now, there are other top receivers. I mean, it's a good receiver draft. You know, Adunze from Washington, Malik Nabers from LSU. You know, it's, you know, I know I've heard, you know, oh, Malik Nabers could be the first receiver. I'll kind of believe that if I see it. But, you know, probably all three of them go top 10. I think seems pretty likely.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's as a Packer fan, I like how no one's going O-line, you know?
Not at the very top, but it's going to
be. It's, I mean, a good class.
It's a loaded offensive draft, and certainly that offensive line, like, maybe not in the top 5, but yeah, I mean, there's a ton of tackles, guards, and centers that, you know, I mean, you could probably see 10-plus offensive linemen in the first round, I'm thinking.
Yeah. I mean, I think Green Bay will be one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's where are they at? What pick do they have?
25.
25, yeah, okay. You know, I mean, the top guys, I would assume the, you know, Joe Alt, the Fuaga kid from Oregon State, seems like he, you know, Latham from Alabama, probably gone by then. But then that, you know, I mean, like, there's a lot of good ones, you know. Marius Mims from Georgia. They love their Georgia guys.
They do.
You know, that makes sense. You know, there's the kid from Arizona, Jordan Morgan. You know, a lot of good offensive linemen in this draft, it seems like. And interior guys, too. The Oregon center, Jackson Powers Johnson, has gotten some buzz. You know, Duke, Graham Barton, guard center, you know, so... It's not just tackles. Like, there's some good interior guys, it seems like, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be good. I mean, my curiosity is, like, I've heard up to 6 quarterbacks in the first round. I don't see that happening. I think we always get carried away. I think Nix and Penix make it to round 2.
So you think 4?
I think 4. 4 for sure, yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, the Broncos are interesting because they don't have a second-round pick. And so if they want to come away with a quarterback, do they take him at 12? I mean, if McCarthy's gone by then, presuming the other three guys are for sure gone by then. I think they will be. Mm-hmm. You know, do you take Nix at 12? If you like him, you probably don't risk passing on him.
I think that's sort of the answer, right? Could they find someone who they can trade back a few spots and do something, maybe?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, and pick up a later pick, too, or something like that. I mean, it seems like that'd be smart, but it's always a risk. Because, mm-hmm. you know, what if the Rams decide, or the Seahawks, that, hey, we like that guy. He's our guy of the future. You know, I mean, Stafford's not going to be around forever. And the Stetson Bennett pick, he is with him in the offseason now, finally. But he missed all of last year with the unexplained absence, you know. So I don't think you can count on him. Like, maybe they decide they want to take somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read that Les Snead and Nix's dad were college teammates or something like that. And, you know, so it's like, well, maybe they sneak up and get him before you. So I don't know. And then I've read the Michael Penix and the Raiders connection seems to be a popular one, which does make some sense.
Yeah.
Old school Raider type football is Michael Penix.
I don't think I'll ever be able to root for Antonio Pierce, but I think he makes sense for the Raiders as long as the Davis family owns the Raiders.
I was going to say, I mean, that's an Al Davis, like, you know, he would bless that from on high. A guy who likes to sit in the pocket and throw it deep, you know, not afraid to throw the 25-yard ball down the sideline into double coverage because he's got confidence in his arm. That's how Penix played at Washington. And I think I even, you know, joked about that with you at one point last season. Like, man, he just feels like an Oakland Raider. Mm-hmm. I know they're not Oakland anymore, but, you know, like, it would be a fit.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So we'll see. I'm fascinated to see where they all land and where each one goes. And, you know, a team we didn't discuss at all is the Giants. But the Giants trying to, you know, they got the sixth pick. If McCarthy's sitting there, or if May slips to six, like, do they make that move and just eat the Daniel Jones salary for another year, and then they've got a guy to go to?
Mm-hmm. Well, it also, I know that we don't do this anymore for most teams, but you let Jones play out a year.
Yeah.
And they're a team who in round two, if Nix or Penix is sitting there.
Agreed.
You know, it's makes like, sense. Hey, yeah. You're not the starter. Well, this guy's the starter, but, you know, you're going to be the starter. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, round two, certainly, yeah, would be a, hey, you're our future starter. We don't maybe have to rush you into it. But, I mean, they owe Daniel Jones the money for this coming season. There's no getting around it. But I believe there's some, like, injury guarantees for future years. So are you almost tempted, like, if you could get a guy and they picked up Drew Lock too, would you, I mean, it would be a tough pill to swallow, but would you just put Daniel Jones on ice?
Yeah.
And, like, basically say, like, yeah, we're going to pay you to not play. I'm not sure they will do that, but, you know, seems like the relationship there is frayed. He's injured all the time. So putting him out there, you've got to be concerned he'll get injured again.
Yeah. I they're an interesting franchise, you know, because they played chicken with Saquon. You know, it's one of those things where I'm not sure what they're – it doesn't feel like they're trying to compete this year.
Which is interesting given that, like, I think Dable's on the hot seat. I mean, I know he had a great first year. They made the playoffs and everybody loved him. But last year was a big disappointment. And they're not a patient. I mean, under John Mara, not his dad anymore, they're not patient with coaches. Like, since Tom Coughlin, they have cycled through coaches the last decade. And another bad year, you know, you're right. They're kind of a fascinating situation because, like, if you felt like the coach and front office were secure, you'd probably say, well, you know what? Let's just see what happens with Jones. We'll play him to start the year. Doesn't work. We'll go to Drew Lock. We'll go to a rookie. And we'll get rid of Jones, and then we'll figure this thing out in 25. But if you do that, the coaches might be out of a job, and a new coach might have to figure it out in 25.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, if you were the Giants and you were thinking longer term, you know, you spend your first three picks on O linemen and you say, we're going to just run Saquon and we're going to try to protect Daniel Jones as best we can. And, you know, we'll figure it out if we have to figure it out. But there's, you know.
I mean, the Jones contract just really looks bad. And it kind of looked bad in the moment. They got lured in by a pretty good season in 2022. And then the Saquon thing, you know, they needed to franchise him. And so they gave Daniel Jones this deal so that they could franchise him. And then, you know, now Saquon's gone and you're on the hook for Daniel Jones. And it's an ugly end to it, you know. Would have been a tough decision to make to let him walk after 2022, but they probably should have. Mm-hmm. In hindsight, they probably should have said, like, go see what's out there. And if you get a better offer than what we're willing to give you, thanks for the memories. We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
But they didn't. And now they're stuck paying him a lot of money for this coming season. And that's why it's like, man, are you going to use the sixth overall pick on a quarterback? And, you know, now you got this high-priced backup. That's not great, but it might be the best long-term move.
Yeah, well, it's also one of the strategies or theories I've heard is you allocate, you know, this much of your cap to this position group. Well, if that guy doesn't wind up being the starter, that, you know, it's okay. So that's you had that much.
Sure, sure. And a rookie quarterback doesn't cost you what it used to, obviously. I mean, even a top 10 guy doesn't make a ton of money right off the bat. If you like a guy, then you'd probably do it. But then you also have the caveat of like, man, I mentioned Drake May and where he fits. Like, while I'm intrigued by him going to the Giants, because I like the Giants as a franchise, you know, the worst thing you could do for a young quarterback is like, oh, he goes to a team with a coach on the hot seat. Coach gets fired after 1 year. Now he's learning a new system. It's a pretty tried and true way to ruin a young quarterback.
Yeah.
Look at the Bears, you know, the last two quarterbacks they've taken, Trubisky and Fields, both, you know, lame duck coaches that got fired after 1 year. And, you know, you put these guys in situations of having to figure it out now, totally start over in year two, and it usually doesn't work out well.
Yeah. Is there any particular pairings of team and player that excite you, that you're like, that just is a good fit? That makes a lot of sense.
It's interesting. I mean, there will be, I'm sure, after tomorrow night. I'm sure, like, yeah, oh yeah. I mean, I'm curious, like, what the Bills do. You know, like, do they make an aggressive move for a receiver? Trading Stephon Diggs, you know, not much behind him this last year.
You know, like, well, and didn't Gabe Davis leave as well?
What's that?
Did Gabe Davis leave as well?
He did. Yeah, so, he went to Jacksonville, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. So they need depth.
You got the two tight ends, good tight ends with Knox and Kincaid. But yeah, I mean, you need receivers. Would they make an aggressive move up to get in? Like, could they get into the top 10 and get Odunze or Neighbors or something, you know, or maybe even just like mid first round, get Brian Thomas, get Xavier Worthy, you know, someone like that. Like, that would be interesting. I've read, I'm trying to remember some that I've read. It's always, you know, once you get into like the 20s, like the team pairings are just random. Like, the Chiefs getting a receiver seems like it makes sense too. You know, with Rashee Rice being very much a question mark for his availability now, and didn't have much receiver last year anyway. You know, would they make a move there?
Well, and also Kelsey, you think at some point he's
slowing down. Yeah. I mean, he did have a great season last year. He was good in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But in the regular season, he was, you know, not as good. And he's getting older.
Well, and I was just going to say, you can also sort of, even just to save him for the playoffs, sort of like, you know, the Chargers towards the end with Gates when they were trying perpetually to, like, get Phil Rivers a playoff win.
Right, right. Yeah. No, I would say, I mean, it makes sense. And you mentioned Kelsey, that makes me think tight end. Like, where does Brock Bowers end up? I'm curious mm-hmm. about that. Seems like Jets at 10, they're loading up on offense to try to do this with Aaron Rodgers. If he falls, the Colts taking him, I think they're at 15 would be interesting if he's there. Curious about him and where he goes. So, yeah, I mean, it's very offense heavy, it feels like. Like, probably 8 to 10 offensive linemen, probably 4 at least quarterbacks, probably 6 or so at least receivers, I would guess, in the first round. Like, you're not going to have a lot of defensive guys, it doesn't feel like. There's a few pass rushers, a couple corners, and then it's going to be mostly offense tomorrow night, I think.
Well, and that's also one of those things where if you are the team who is looking for corner help or edge help, that guy might be there for you.
He might, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Dallas Turner from Alabama seems to be the consensus top pass rusher. The Latu kid from UCLA, I've heard him mentioned too, but then it kind of is a guy's late first round, Chop Robinson from Penn State, I've heard, if somebody falls, there's always guys who, all the mock drafts have them going top 10, and all of a sudden we're in the 20s, and it's like, how's that guy still available? Maybe some of those defensive guys might be it.
Yeah.
And then there's always guys who is like, man, that guy wasn't supposed to go first round, and he went 17th overall.
Yeah. Because there's always some team who falls in love with their guy, and that
yep.
then it really does become that cliche of, like, if you think he's your guy and you're right, then it really doesn't matter when you take him.
Yeah, I mean, remember last year with the Lions and Jahmyr Gibbs?
Yeah.
Like, the days leading up to the draft, probably maybe had some saying he'd go in the late 20s, bottom of the first round. They took him 12th. Mm-hmm. That was a kind of a shocker. It's only been 1 year, but it seems like it was a pretty good pick. He had a very nice rookie year, they like him, and it's like, well, hey, if you're going to use him and take advantage of his skills, take him there, man. Don't wait and let somebody else get him in front of you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited. I always look forward to this day and see where guys go, and curious where the quarterbacks go, and then curious, like, when you get to Saturday, like, how many beyond those top 6, how many go? Like, but will there be a lot of guys on day 3 or maybe only a handful?
Yeah.
Spencer Rattler seems like a lock to get picked. Maybe even Friday, but I would assume pretty high Saturday if he's still available.
Yeah, well, he feels like one of those guys where a team's going to be like, we know what to do with him. Give him time, give him space.
Yeah, he's got talent.
He's a guy, frankly, who the Jets, could stick behind Rodgers and just say,
I can see that.
You're not playing. It would take a lot. You're going to mostly be on the practice squad. You're going to
mostly the third guy because they got Tyrod Taylor too. So, that makes sense. Yeah, get them they traded Zach Wilson finally. So that they make sense for a late day 2, day 3 type draft pick of a quarterback. That would make a lot of sense.
He's definitely curious
about him. Yeah. And you mentioned pairings I like, and I haven't read this anywhere, but I just thought of it an hour or so ago. The Steelers, I don't think they're going to take a quarterback high. You got Wilson and Fields. You want to see what they can do. But them taking a day 3 guy, would love them taking Jordan Travis from Florida State.
Yeah.
Just think, if they're gonna let run an offense rehab with the quarterback running,
yeah,
he'd be a good long term project for them.
When you let him rehab for a year.
Exactly. Yeah. He's the number 3 guy, no big deal. You got your, starter and backup, presumably with Wilson and Fields in some order. And then if it doesn't work out with Wilson and Fields, they could be away from both of them next year if they want. Wilson's on a 1-year minimum deal. They're not going to pick up Fields' option. Taking a guy day 3 makes some sense. Like, maybe he's a backup for you, but maybe he turns into something more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And I like Jordan Travis. Like, he was the guy. I don't know if he's an NFL quarterback. I mean, I'm not sure he's got the arm. And yet, it's a different NFL than it was 10, 15 years ago when we would do this. Like, you know, offenses are different. Coaches coach around a quarterback that can run well and maybe don't have the strongest of arms. You know, like they're able to do that now. Guys who in the past would have been, you know, day three picks are now going in the top five overall. So I think he could make it work.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting one. Well, look, we'll talk about it when it's over. We'll recap it. We'll
have to discuss next week. Yes. Yes.
But, until next time, we will all be rooting for Rhea Ripley's quick recovery.
That's right. That's right. I think last time I said she could hold the title until next WrestleMania unless she gets hurt.
Yeah.
Within a few days, she was hurt. So, sorry.
I mean, the Matt Story jinx, you know, basically picked her to be the MVP.
Be the NFL MVP. I know. Yes, I'm sorry. I did mean to do it, but I guess I did. Yeah.
But, hey, look, until next time, he's Matt. I'm Ben. It's the Ben and Matt Sportscast.